I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Community Center Committee. Before we call roll, I would just like to inform the committee as well as the public that due to a conflict in schedules and other commitments, Jim Madison has resigned from this committee, and that position will be filled by the Board of Directors at a future date. So we're working, now we can stalemate everything, 2-2 on all the votes from the court. With that, would you please call roll?
Chair Graves?
I'm here.
Vice Chair Steele?
Here.
Member Alexander?
Here.
Member Emmett?
Here.
This is our time for public comments. If there's anything that anybody would like to talk about that isn't an agendized item, this would be the time to come forward and do that.
I guess it'll be me here.
Yeah, you know, yeah, here. I'll take that, man. Thanks.
Good evening. I'm Matt Ellison. I'm a local resident, been here since 82. Plus, I also own Delta Valley Athletic Club in Brentwood, if you didn't already know that. I just want to start by saying that I am supportive of the community center. I am. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a great location. I think it's a great... I think of it more of a town center than a community center. That's how I envision it. I don't never really thought that the town should be in the fitness business, per se. But a community center, I think, is a good thing. And I do wish you all luck with raising funds and your commitment to it. I admire people like yourself for being doing things like this. I really do. But with all that said, I have elected to open up a health club in the Discovery Bay Shopping Center. So it's approximately 3,000 feet. It's basically weights and cardio. So I'm going to start with 3,000 feet. I have an option for another 3,000 feet next to it, next door to it. So that's my intention. I don't mean to hurt the community center. I love my town. I always have. And its success is important to me and my family. So the main reason, I mean, that I talked, there's lots of reasons I tried to even buy this piece and all that, but I just want to let you guys know that's my intention. Perfect. And I hope to work well. My intention is not to have any group acts at this time, so work well with you guys as far as coexisting together and not hurting each other. But I did it mainly, the biggest part of the reason is my membership base has been asking for it. You know, what are you doing? They all this kind of stirred it up. So I kind of had to address it. But I am looking forward. I'm kind of excited about it.
So if a person was a member of Brentwood, would they
this
be part?
This is public comments. And
I'm going to have dual memberships, so you could add on or have a solo membership here. The rates I haven't really decided yet on. But I think they'd be comparable with what you guys are offering now in that price range. More of an express type club.
Okay, great. Thank you. Is that all you got for us, Matt?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate you sharing that with us and informing us of that so we can, it'll help us in our process of what we plan to do to move forward to have that information. And I think, at least for myself, I look forward to providing full service to the town of Discovery Bay with a combination of programs and your efforts, and thank you for that.
Great, and I'm open to discussion whenever you guys
feel good. Thank you.
Cool. Just so the committee knows that Matt and I met this afternoon along with Chair Graves and discussed some of these things, and so I'll let you know that meeting did take place and that we were looking forward to the new relationship.
Okay. Next.
I'm not sure if I've got public comments or public questions. So I'll throw it out. You can tell me if I need to delay it. How's that? Question with the committee member that's going to be replaced. What would be the chance of a committee member from the public instead of a council, instead of a board member?
Okay. First, just for clarification purposes, I didn't explain that probably well enough. The member that left was an at-large member from the community. He was not a board member, and they will be replaced with people that have applied already. We have a list of people that have applied for the position originally, And I think that probably what will happen, I'm just one part of the board, but probably what will happen is the board will look at that, or the subcommittee will look at that and make a recommendation for a person to be on the board from those that have already showed interest.
Since it just opened, would you open it up for a couple more applications?
At this point, at this point, we're not publicly asking for any applications, but it can never hurt to send something into staff, and if they could put it into a packet with us, that would be fine. I'm not going to discourage that.
I would love to be a part of this.
Okay.
My next question is...
That was your one answer for the day, but go ahead.
Well, I don't know where this would go. Our tennis people, because you said the tennis courts will remain, we're wondering how our tennis leagues will continue to work under... community center. Because we have our, and as far as when guests, we go to other clubs and we play as their guests, and then they come to our club and play, and there's no fees, it's a courtesy. And we hope that Discovery Bay Community Center will support. It doesn't cost anything for you guys. We pay to join the league. And we support ourselves, we provide our own refreshments, and the only thing that we need is for the courts to be cleaned up. So it's nothing for you, it's something for the other visiting clubs. So that was a question. I'm just kind of generally wondering what the direction of the community center is with Matt opening up, and if we're going to have classes like Tammy's doing our line dancing, that kind of stuff.
We'll address that on action item number 3.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Also, I will just let you know that staff will be given guidance with regards to how we're going to handle the tennis situation. If they're aware of it and they've already addressed it, and I'm sure that it's going to be worked out amicably. But there's no immediate answer for you at this point.
And I'm just kind of wondering why nothing's been done to promote the new ownership of the club.
Thank you. Okay, any other public comment? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the previous minutes?
On the motion, we approve the minutes.
And is there a second?
I second. Okay.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. D, staff, are there any presentations this evening?
No presentations.
Thank you. Item E1, Community Center Operational Update. Let's take a look at this and Reader's Digest version of how we're doing.
Yeah, Perry's going to go ahead and give us an update on that. Farron or Sue? Farron's going to go through the information that you have here in front of you. It's the color chart that says checking history. Our computer program is able to break out different types of uses, and they know it better than I, so I'm going to turn it over.
If you don't mind, I'm going to combine 2 and 3 because they kind of coincide for
okay.
A little bit. So you're looking at a membership overview. We had gone back through the system and audited it from our last meeting. We didn't really have the numbers, and it wasn't being tracked properly. So on the membership overview, and I'm sorry, I think you have multiple pages there, but you can actually see we've broken down the user agreements that have come through the door for March. There's been a total of 144 agreements, which encompasses 235 different users. The value of those contracts for the month is $9,344.
What page are you on?
Membership overview.
Okay, wait, there. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, third page. Okay, there, we're on the third page.
Do
you have a copy of this, Matt? This might be interesting for you. Okay.
So,
free information.
Now, of that, I'm going to kind of roll into the revenue side a little bit before I move forward. But so the value of those contracts, the 9,344, is not what we've collected. Now, we ran into some problems in the beginning of the month with not being able to process credit cards, but we didn't want to turn people away who wanted to pay that way. So their memberships are included here. There's an uncollected amount of about $2,400 of that is uncollected in membership use. And so what we have collected I'm going to give just a few numbers. Okay, so just for the month, we've collected just over $7,000, which goes to the membership payments. There is, believe, balance of about, so we've collected the seven, we've got the 20, the uncollected amount of the 2,442, and then we've, for future payments, revenue that we've collected but are, will be applied to future months, sorry, I just lost my page, is about $1,800 of that. I'm looking for the exact number, but... So the last time we came in and we said we were pretty close to the $10,000 being collected, we have collected, you know, $8,700. Some of that goes to the future and some of that's uncollected, or we still have some uncollected amounts. It's a little confusing, I know. But so there's three different numbers there. There's the month, about $7,000 for memberships, $2,000 uncollected, and $1,800 that goes for the future.
What was it? Do you know what the number, that's a good question, Chris, do you know what the number was for billable for the month, though? For the month of March, how much should we, let's forget how much
the membership amount.
Is the 93.44?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's the amount that we
earned. That's the amount that people came in through the door and said they wanted a membership and came out with our user.
And the reason we have accounts receivable is of just a snafu with the system?
Well, we didn't. We collected as many checks and cash as we could, but there were a number of users who wanted to pay by credit card or didn't have a check. You know, that was the way that they preferred. We just established that last Wednesday, and so there's a number of people who either haven't come back through the door or for some sort of just processing with our staff and training hasn't been collected yet. So.
And we have some liability for future payments, is that correct?
Yes, $1,800.
Okay.
Around. And I believe that some of this won't be collected. You know, that whether people came in the door and then decided they didn't want to come back, I doubt that the $2,400 will fully be collected for this month. But if we continue with the same amount of users for next month, we're just under that $10,000 mark.
Okay.
We did... end out, I think last time I reported that we had the first class that was done as a split agreement with the contractor where they signed it, you know, brought in their own residents to take this course and they paid and we had a percentage split with them, and that ended up at the end of the month around $700 was the income on that. So that's a split between us and them and that contractor, and it was hugely successful for her, so great program so far.
Great. Any questions from any of the, or clarifications from any of the committee members? Ryan, nothing? Chris?
No, that's good.
Any? I'll open it up. Any questions or comments from the audience?
There's a credit on the account, so that number, that $1,800, is unapplied payment credits on the account, so things that we will owe in the future, so you could either be refunded or you can have a reduction in what you pay next month, but it's on the account. Yeah.
And I would just for the record recommend that anybody that has paid any future months to save on an accounting nightmare for the district, that do not pay past June 30th.
Yeah, we're not
collecting. And we would prefer that you zero the balance out through your credit, not ask for a refund, because it costs us money every time we have to write a check. So we would prefer that you adjust your payments to compensate for any credits that are coming your way. And I imagine you guys are doing that at the center to encourage that with any people you come across also. Is that all we have, staff, at this point? I mean, is that not all we have? Is that the report we have to give at this point?
There was some information on the check-ins and who is coming in the door each time here. This is for the month. We provided this because we're trying to track it, and you guys had asked for that, but I wouldn't put too much value in it yet because, again, the staff training, and we really wanted to be able to, not everybody gets checked in to the appropriate category where they should go, that this, you know, yet those processes aren't perfect. So it's not
At least it's an example of what could come later.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right, great. Thanks, Baron. Appreciate it very much. You too. Oh, I guess we covered basically one and two together. Is that correct? Okay, let's move on to E3, initial programming considerations. And obviously, we put this in there based on the fact that we had some conversations with Diablo, or Delta Valley, excuse me, and knew that there was a possibility. Actually, the cat was out of the bag when the plan showed up at our front door and asked us if we could provide water and wastewater for the facility. So we had a little heads up that this might be coming. But we're pleased to be working with a local resident on providing these services. So with that, I'm going to turn this over to staff, and I think that there are some people you want to, or some information
right.
you want to disseminate.
Yeah, I'm not sure that the title of this agenda item is actually is accurate. It's more of a roadmap to our future facility for future programming, where we're going to go from where we are right now. Now knowing that the fitness exercise equipment component is more than likely not going to be in our future. So with that, I want to introduce Pat O'Toole. And Pat is with the firm Greenplay LLC, and this committee recommended to go to the board to approve a contract with them a few meetings back. And Pat is actually, even though Greenplay is based out of Colorado, he's based out of Kansas, and so he flew in last night and spent the day with us visiting all the different facilities and looking at everything, and we'll be here for part of the morning tomorrow as well. So I've asked Pat to kind of go ahead and give us an idea of what we can anticipate moving forward with respect to our community center, since we've never really been in the business before of running one, but they have. And so he's going to go ahead and at the end of their work effort, they will be able to provide us with a report with recommendations as to how to move forward. So with that, please, thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Rick. Good evening. A little bit of background about myself and Greenplay. We are a park and recreation consulting firm. The firm was started in 1999. We are 13 people strong. Our headquarters are in Denver, everybody but three people, myself, one in New Hampshire, one in Florida. We work nationally on park and rec master plan feasibility studies for all types of recreation facilities. I joined the firm in 2003. It is a woman-owned firm. We are all ex-park and recreation professionals. My public park and rec history is right out of college. I was fortunate enough to get a director's job at a small city in Kansas. From there, went to a large county system, the Missouri side of Kansas City, 22,000 acres of parkland. There, we had to develop everything self-supporting financially with no tax support. From there, I went up to a special park district on Lake Erie, just east of Cleveland, and I finished in Indianapolis, Indiana, and then started consulting there in 1995. So, based on our backgrounds, we're kind of looking at it from your side of the table, knowing what it's going to cost to operate, what your headaches might be, what we have seen as trends. So, you know, we've been in contact and conference calls with Rick and Farron and looked at stuff, done some research, and then came in town today, toured all the facilities, looked at Discovery Bay, talked about funding, talked about all your different districts, and all those things are components that I need to know to help you move forward. So it's the information gathering now. Knowing what's going in across the street, I think, is a tremendous opportunity to partner and not duplicate and play off of each other. It also simplifies your role in a community center. I think you got a great opportunity at that site for what you're trying to do. Visit your parks. I will commend you on your parks. They're immaculate. I see parks all over the country that don't look as nice as yours, as well manicured. So compliments on that. In the end, what we're looking at in this contract is a short-term, how do you get from point A to B to get you jump-started in the right path, following your renovations and your stagings, and as I keep hearing, baby steps first. Along with that, and how to get from A to B is going to be an operation, what you can expect expenses and revenue-wise in your first year of operation. So that is based on what you're going to renovate, your timing. So if it turns into 18 months that you can kind of disseminate into your fiscal year, we'll do it that way. We're going to start from the basement, not basement, but from foundation up. So we're going to look at every hour of potential programs in each available room and how we would recommend that you do that based on local trends and what might be the most popular first to get some momentum going, those types of things. In our tours today, I told Rick, I said, you know, my opinion in the long term is you guys are very primed for an overall park and recreation master plan. We take all your parks, all your amenities, public input, a statistically valid survey, an inventory list by components, and figure out for your next 5 to 10 years where different components need to go and stage that out on a time period. And then probably the most compelling part of a master plan is to assist you in how to fund that. So maybe taking some of your districts and you know, it could be the possibility of creating one park and rec district where that money could operate your parks and rec and some of the other landscaping and parks funds. I don't know if that's the answer or not, but that's what a master plan will do and kind of get you away from kind of hodgepodge planning. Mm-hmm. This is great right here, but you know, in the end, what's up in the northwest corner and over here and all that stuff. So with that, you know, I'm open to questions or the process or anything you'd like to ask.
Are there any questions or clarifications from the committee as to, again, so currently you're under contract just to kind of get us going in the right direction, correct? And that's a limited term contract that you're under.
Limited term. The biggest component is this trip and probably coming up with your programming and your budgets. And right now, after seeing what I saw today, I would anticipate a pool budget that's kind of, you know, not rolling them all into one park budget, but a pool budget, tennis court budget, and community center budget.
Staff, do you have anything to give us to clarify that based on what the board of directors gave guidance on when they approved this contract, or is that?
The initial scope was a little bit different in that it was transitioning into a fitness facility,
right?
And that, as we know, has changed.
Okay.
But what has not changed is still our need organizationally to be able to rely on someone like Pat Nisbrom with the ability to provide us with the direction that we need, having been there before and having gone down that road before, so that me and my staff and Farron and her staff can follow a path that makes sense, if you will. And so we talked about that today at length. So that's kind of the change.
Just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Any questions or comments from committee members? Chris Jessel.
Yeah. I'd be interested in some feedback or some examples on how a foundation, a private foundation, may fit into this project as far as donations and materials or facilities or, you know, how people,
servicing kind,
how public could support that type of operation. And then not just looking at the facility, but look at our the recreation component. It's really important. Like we've talked about before, this group, we call it a hub and spoke, but we've got a lot of nice parks and we've got a mishmash of different leagues for different activities. But how can we organize that and be the community center, be a center point for disseminating or organizing or of those activities? And then I would just, there's a lot of fundraising that's going to be happening here in the next year or two, and so that's why I brought up the foundation. How do we go about that? We're working with the government and private. How do we do a public-private adventure, you know?
A quick answer to your question. That's exactly what pointed me in the direction of saying you really need a master plan. That's what a master plan would do for you.
Right.
In this portion, and we're all, but we have passion about what we do. We want you guys to be our next best references. So whatever we can do to help jumpstart, give you information on foundations, those types of things we'll do. So I've kind of got a note working here of some of the things. I mean, we're out there today and Rick said, what would you do these bocce ball courts?
No.
You know, boom, boom, boom. It's not going to fit in the scope of what we came here to do, but I certainly gave him some ideas and we can put those in writing.
All right.
So those are things that are on my list. We do a lot of work with not just foundations, but setting up foundations and how you can do that and use them clear down to gift catalogs and memorial trees and benches, all that stuff. All
right.
Naming rights, they're huge now. But also partnerships is something, again, from a, we deal with a lot of best practices and trends that we see, that we try to see what works best in each community. They don't all work the same way. They aren't all familiar to people. But usually a sliver of this, a sliver of that work, and you pair them up, and partnerships is one of our main areas of concern.
Right.
So we consider a partnership an alternative way of funding, same with a foundation, which is, again, a big piece of the master plan. But again, we can kind of lean you in that direction from a mode of, you know, starting to think down that path.
All right. Thank you.
Any, yeah, Diane, go ahead.
So this master plan is not something that you're going to be doing now?
No. The master plan is about a 12-month process, 9 to 12. It usually has a statistic about survey in there that we do an awful lot of public input. What do you need? Where should it go? Why? Just a simple statistic on a master plan survey might be to find out, and we might even want to divide the geographic areas to match up with your funding to find out what, you know, what people think of price tolerance of doing some things or some classes, or would they support an increase in property values if they got what they wanted. Some of the things we do is ask simple questions like, do you own a dog? Would you like to see a dog park? Might find that overall it's not that high on the list, but there's one little section over here that it's their top number one thing. That helps tell us in a master plan what are the priorities that get you the biggest bang, the most support, the highest funding mechanisms, and keep people happy that 98% might not want. So looking even at the different sizes and residents in your different zones, as I would do a master plan, I'd say that matches up pretty well with how. All we got to do is ask them which zone or which, you know, on the map, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, A, B, C, D, E, where do you live? Now we can come back and cross-tab that and say, you know, overall for Discovery Bay here, here's what people think. But now, that same question, here's the different zones, and, you know, you might find that they say, we'll fund it, but all we want is a dog park. Why not set something up to accommodate? So, yeah, but we're talking 9 to 12 months. We're talking about an awful lot more dollars than what this is. But it is one that, again, spending all day here, you're just primed for that. So it's about a 5 to 10-year projection. The next 5 we can get really close on. We look at demographics. I'll look at demographics here to kind of help maybe tell us which should be pretty popular programs for your demographics. But your demographics based on the long term of over the next 10 years and how you can position yourselves. And it's truly a roadmap to kind of get you out of the, you know, somebody raised their hand and saying, well, I'd like to see that, and I've got 100 people here behind me that like that. That doesn't really tell you anything until you do a master plan, and then you can kind of prioritize and say, you know, in another 6 years, we're going to have the funding to do that.
Any other questions, comments from me? This may turn into somewhat of an action. I'm going to ask if there's any questions or clarifications from the public. And staff, I would ask you at this point, because I always, you know, serving on both boards, I sometimes get confused over my authority. We can do nothing more than recommend. Can we ask you to provide a proposal for that, or do we need to, does that have to come from the board? That can come from this committee?
We're not allocating any funds.
Right. And then when that proposal is ready, we can take that proposal to the board, because that's what our job. Okay. Sorry, guys. I need to make sure I don't step on my toes sometimes. Okay. So at this point in time, did you have a comment?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You said you have a limited term contract.
But it's not a time period. I think we did. There is something in there that 10 days after my trip here, I'll have a game plan. And then after that, we'll put together. So it's kind of a check back in and say, okay, here's what I'm going to deliver. And then we deliver it. So there's not a timetable on it. It's more of a not to exceed figure and what that
what scope you get for that figure?
There's a scope of work, and it's a product that yes, that they have to deliver. And so when they're completed with delivering the product, that will end their.
So you're going to put a plan together within 10 days of where you think so what you think the community center should be, the master plan of where it should be going.
No, the master plan is completely separate. What this will be, in 10 days, I'll deliver to Rick probably verbally with an outline that says, okay, here's what I think came out of my trip and what I'm going to provide. Okay, and then try to get some sign-off on that. Then, as long as we're okay there, then I'll go to work to put that the actual deliverable together, which in the end will be a pretty much a programming plan for all
short-term.
Short-term for all three of those, meaning that the community center, tennis, and pool, and then a first year operational. But those will be the two key deliverables.
If I may, the short-term plan is to get us working through the community center programming so that we can offer programming that will get us through the time frame while the master plan, if that's the direction the board, committee of the board, choose to go in, while that document is being addressed and being prepared and discussed and vetted at that point in time. When that's completed, there would be a much more formal long-term recommendation. This is just to get us so that we can begin to offer the programming, we can operate the pool, we can run the tennis facility over the course of the next 6, 9, 12 months.
So probably I would say that the deliverables on this contract will end up being a mode of operation for those three facilities, a programming suggestion of times and what types of programs at what times of day, and probably a pricing of those programs as well as an expense budget, so an operational.
So then you'll deliver that to the board?
To the committee.
And then the board will approve any additional contract that he does?
There's two separate things here. The first is what we've already contracted for, which is what we're talking about. Any future contracts is a future contract, and we haven't discussed that yet. You're welcome. Now let's discuss that. Chris?
Yeah, I'd like to. I think the committee, this master plan idea is something that's going to help a lot with our community, and maybe we can be the catalyst to get that moving for the board. And I think the committee should make a recommendation that we have our staff get that proposal to the board.
I'd like to see that as a motion. If you make a motion to move forward with that, and then we can go ahead and just vote on it.
Make a motion that we authorize staff to engage Greenplay for a master plan for the park and rec for proposal.
Thank you.
Recommendation for the board.
I'll second.
Great. Any further discussion? No. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for that, Pat, and thank you for that, Rick, because we didn't even know what we really need. That's why we needed you here. We didn't know we needed that. And what's really interesting is we went through the same process for water, wastewater, but never correlated the two things together. And we said, hey, we can't move forward without a 10-year plan. And we put that plan together over the last year and a half, and we didn't even think, that big old thing, that cost bundles.
Well, and as your comment was earlier, an upsell, I think it was about the fourth time I heard Rick say, well, we thought about a dog park here. And then we drive by, now, well, maybe this corner would be a good dog park. And that's what this plan could do, is take all that, maybe, and if you do it and nobody likes it, nobody comes.
So you will take into consideration demographics, future development, all those kind of things that are going to occur that come out of that plan. Some of it's going to come out of there for you.
Exactly.
And then bring a similar plan to us. So staff, you have your guidance to move forward with securing a proposal that we can review and then take on to the board. Pat, thank you very much for your time and that information.
For the committee members, I know that Chairman Graves and Director Steele are well aware of this, but for those of you that are on the committee and for the public, we just completed the water and wastewater master plans, and those master plans, the recommendations in those master plans, are what drives our everyday decisions almost. The decisions that are included, the recommendations that are in there, lead us in a direction for long-term sustainability. So I think it's a really good idea, and I'm really glad Pat suggested that we're having lunch this afternoon. So
Great, thanks. Thank you again. Thank you, staff, for that. Moving on to item E4. There we go.
Four is really, at this point in time, going to be... Four had more to do with the fitness component remaining in place.
So, okay.
So we're going to pull that one off. So okay. The next item would be for the swimming pools, or the swimming pool, I should say. As you know, we went to the board last week with a proposal to renovate the swimming pool. The swimming pool renovation project has been one that's been very frustrating because we've talked to a number of different people in the industry and we've gotten just as many answers and different suggestions and comments and recommendations back. And so we finally drilled down with the company and we went out, we met with them, we talked to them, and we wanted to make sure that the hodgepodge of residential pool equipment that's out there right now, that's expensive to maintain, that is very energy inefficient.
And unreliable
is converted to a reliable system that will be in place for a long time to come. So we finally have that. The board had a few more questions, and so we've gotten most of those answers back. In fact, I remember Chris Steele asked what the availability of the equipment was. On site of contract, it would be on site within 2 weeks. So that was one of the questions that he asked. We had budgeted $23,000 for this project, and it's going to be about $17,000 more than we anticipated. So it is fairly pricey. It's actually more than that, but we're going to be getting about a $7,500 rebate from PG&E on some efficiency improvements. The difficulty with the pool is we're paying for the electricity right now. We're maintaining the pool right now. It's not in very good condition, and it's a very inefficient pool. We can't just drain it and put a cover on it, because if we do that, we've been told that because of the low water table, the pool's just going to pop out of the ground. And so we have this facility that we're either going to maintain in a very poor condition and not use it, or we're going to operate as a swimming pool. So staff is going to recommend again next week, after the information that the board has requested relative to ongoing expenses and that sort of thing, to go ahead and continue the plan to renovate the swimming pool. The goal is to have it open by Memorial Weekend. That would still be our goal, to have it done by that time.
Prior to that, okay.
Prior to that.
And is it the consensus of this committee that is an imperative portion of, just so we can take that back to the board? I mean, I you agree, Diane, that the pool...
Yeah, I do. I just, when you say renovate, does that mean, take it all out and start again?
No.
Or just the pump and all that?
Pump filters.
It's pumps, filters, heaters. There's some return valves that pull the water from the swimming pool, and they run it back to the filter system. Those are no longer legal, and those have to be replaced. It will require draining the swimming pool, cleaning the swimming pool. It's a complete renovation of all the equipment.
There'll be some ADA compliance also.
It will have an ADA lift. There's other items that go along with that. We have to raise the fencing in certain areas and that sort of thing. But yeah.
It's pretty extensive, and actually, the way I evaluated it personally myself was I looked at that as between a $300,000 and $500,000 asset sitting there that does not make sense not to spend at least that much money into renovating so we can use that asset within the community. We're in a community that has extremely warm summers, and in any other portion around us, Stockton, Tracy, everybody's got pools in their backyard. Well, we have a delta, but even the 1,800 homes over there, most of them don't have pools because it's hard to dig a pool out here. You have levee issues and other things. And I think the pool was just going to be a huge asset to draw the community into the community center.
It always has been.
Yeah, and I think it would be, and to abandon it and then to come build another one would be $750 million. So it just doesn't make any sense not to put the amount of funds into it that it needs to have in order to renovate it and make it usable. And I like the fact that the board said it's going to be done by May 15th. I think that's wonderful.
I heard it was May 10th, so I heard that from Mother's Day.
So we can take that recommendation back to the board that it was unanimous that we need to move forward with that project.
Central.
Anything else on the pool?
No, not at this time.
Okay, so understood. It's a $47,800 improvement, and we expect about $7,500 worth of credits back from PG&E for upgrading the efficiency and eliminating five residential pumps and putting in one commercial pump. So, anyway, comments from the public, I see.
I'm so sorry. I just have questions. Rick, when you said that we need an ADA lift, I know we have to make it handicap accessible. I'm just wondering, is handicap accessible if we do a ramp instead of a lift, if that would save any money?
The lift is what gets you into the pool. It's an accessible lift to that a handicapped person can operate on their own and get into the chair by themselves and push the control. It will put them into the pool. I think you're referring to the access to the pool.
I'm just wondering, I don't know what the options are of making handicap accessible. I know we have to. I'm just wondering if there's any other options besides the lift that is.
No. The lift is.
Just
going to
be around and put our lounge chairs on
it. It's required. It's a $3,500.
It's not, yeah.
And also regarding the pool coming out of the water, you can drain the pool to half. I have a pool. You can drain the pool halfway empty without worrying about it raising out of the ground. It will if you drain it all the way. And you also have to look at the tide tables. If the tide tables are down when you have the repair, that's when you would want to schedule repairs when tide tables are down. Because that's when you need to just sweep it up.
We have a pool, right?
Pretty sure Tony Adams is on top of it. Item E, thank you, staff. Item E6.
Farron's going to go ahead and give that report. This is on the pickleball court conversion options.
I knew we were going to have pickleball on the agenda today when I looked at the audience. Mr. Pickleball himself.
All right, so this is just really for discussion tonight and some input from the committee. I think we've discussed in the past the idea of converting our, and this might have been with the board, but I think possibly with you, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So many discussions lately. But on our budget for last year for Zone 8, we had, the board had approved to install new pickleball courts next to the existing tennis courts at Cornell Park. During this process with the community center and the new operating and capital costs associated with running the community center and repairing it, we're kind of stepping back and looking at ways within the landscape and park budget itself that we can save some money. We still want to move forward with the project, but we've been in discussion with those parties involved on what other options there may be. I do intend to take this to the full board at the next meeting, April 3rd, I believe, and discuss the options and budgets with each of these. But I am looking for some input because there are the two options, well, there's three, would include two different site locations. So we can convert an existing tennis court into pickleball courts at the community center, or we can do two different conversion options at Cornell. The ones involved with the community center would look similar to what you're seeing here. The community center tennis courts are large enough to do a full conversion to accommodate four pickleball courts within it. They would be tight, and there's a number of things that would have to happen: repainting of the surface completely, adding new tennis fence or new fencing throughout. But you can fit four courts in there. As part of that, the current instructor who's been working at the community center loved the idea of the pickleball courts there and starting being able to have an area for youth tennis, very small, first-time children coming out and using these pickleball courts to have some sort of programming for youth tennis as well. Now, the other option of using Cornell and the existing area where we were going to convert or add courts is that you can go with a conversion of, let me explain, with the courts that we have at Cornell, their play lines between the two courts overlap. So they're not as large as the courts that are at the community center. So you couldn't do a four-court conversion at Cornell Park without adding asphalt, moving out fences, kind of more of a significant amount of budget money to do the four-court option. So we've been in contact. I'm glad he's here. Robert Lyman tonight kind of represents the pickleball club here in town, and he's put together some different numbers, but ultimately, with the four courts at Cornell, you're looking at a little bit more budget money, or you can lower the budget and just add two courts. Now, the concerns of the pickleballers is that we're not exactly sure how those tennis courts at the community center are going to run and if they're going to have to pay for play. So because that's up in the air right now, there is some concern from the club, the pickleball club, about that they have free play now, and why would they go there to play? And then also, if they had it at Cornell Park, you could still have a youth tennis program there with the hub and spoke idea. So there are some thoughts and options here. So budgets aside, I'm looking for, I guess we have the option to do two courts at Cornell or four courts at the community center. There's a little bit of difference in the budgets there, but not a whole lot. But I can't tell you the people behind this who've been pushing this and asking for it, I think right now, preferring the Cornell site. And it may be...
Yeah, I was going to ask, can we have Bob, maybe yes. If staff is okay if we ask Bob Lyman to come up and address some questions that the board may have. Is that okay with you, Karen?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Okay. Bob, why don't you guys, you can go over there.
Okay.
How many members do you guys have in, Mr. President, how many members do you have in the pickleball club?
We have,
regular players or whatever, however you want to call it.
Yeah, there it is. You know, we actually have kind of put together a club, but we've just started at the first of the year as a formal effort to raise a little bit of money to promote, you know, teach people about pickleball. But we have probably 40 people that have played pickleball that are in this area. We probably have 20 people that are playing reasonably regularly.
Which means? A couple days a week?
We play 4 days a week.
Okay.
And we've been keeping track of the contact hours of play, and we were, with that increase in people, we actually have doubled the amount of contact hours. I think it was for the first, you know, in January's cold,
yeah, right.
Not as the play is as good with. We went from, I think, 50 contact hours to 100 this year, I noticed. So,
can you give us, like, a mini Reader's Digest version of what the heck pickleball is? Pickleball is where you try to kill the person in the middle, right? That's what it was when I was growing up, like dodgeball.
No, pickleball is pickleball is a game, a tennis-like game played on a court that's ping pong. Some people like to think of it like ping pong because you're hitting a ball with a paddle. But you're on the table, but it's on a badminton-sized court, so you can put four courts in one of the tennis courts over here.
So there's four courts I'm looking at in this picture. In this picture right here, there's one of these pictures.
Right, this happens to be at a facility in Arizona that was
converted. Those four green squares are each a court, so there's four courts?
No, it's just like a tennis court. The green, what you're looking across the top picture. You're looking at three across, because this is a combination increase in courts. The back side, I think, was a full tennis court, and then they built a pickleball court on this side, a separate pickleball court on this side. So, because you can see three across.
But I see a tennis net.
No, you see a pickleball net.
Where's the tennis? That's small. There's no way
smaller.
For me to scale what that is.
Yeah, what you're looking at.
Is there one that shows it on a tennis court so I can get an idea what the scale is?
You are looking at one. You're looking at the back one, and that has four courts that was converted from a single tennis court. So four pickleball courts can fit into a tennis court.
This is a pickleball court. That's one court. That's another court. That's another court.
And if you're going to draw a tennis court on that with your finger, where's the tennis court?
Well, the tennis court was actually back here. See these four?
Yeah.
And there's four over there.
Oh, I mean, the tennis court ran this way.
No, the tennis court is, what you have is, this was a tennis court.
We each have the tennis court. Each half of the tennis court's a pickleball court.
It's two pickleball courts.
Two, okay.
Yeah. This, well, here is my idea of what we should be doing at Cornell, and it could be on either end. This is Cornell. This is a tennis court.
Mm-hmm.
There is a tennis court now here. What we would propose is...
Where's the net on the tennis court, on this picture?
Right there.
Okay.
And then there'll be a net here and a net here for two pickleball courts. And what I like about this facility is that if pickleball really continues to grow like we expect it to, then we could put four courts here.
So, yeah, because we have the tennis facility.
Because you got...
And then you keep the pickleball courts together.
Right.
I'm with you. And what you're proposing, though, is that we incur the expense of, which is, was part of your issue to begin with, was is narrowing the court down so the ball's not flying.
Right, right.
So put in some fencing in here that gives you the ability to maintain your court, more or less.
That's right. So you're playing in your court, and the ball generally is there.
So like this is all like a chain link fencing or a low fence or something like that?
Right.
Okay.
That's what we're showing there.
All right.
Also 5 foot
is everybody, fence or something. You guys?
Well, actually, I've been playing it a little bit. I live across the street from Cornell Park.
Oh, we got a ringer on the board. I see how you're working
it now,
Bob.
You know, you're asking him when people play. I mean, we got our own set, and we go out without them, too. So there's this play, not just when they're playing.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to just didn't. I don't understand. So the ball
it's
never
game,
hits, the ball never
like
hits the ground?
It's a game like
the
ball, tennis.
Does the ball bounce
like
once?
Essentially, you play it like tennis. Did you score it the same way? All
right.
We play to 11 points. You only score when you're serving. Those are kind of a little simple differences.
So it's a little combination of volleyball rules and tennis.
You serve underhand, but I mean it's a game that you play over a net.
Singles, doubles, only singles?
We mostly all play doubles, but people do play singles.
So there's four people on those courts at one time?
I was curious the size of the ball. Is it smaller than a tennis ball?
It's about, it's
like a racquetball,
it's
wiffle ball.
It's a little bit larger. It's more like a wiffle ball.
Ah,
it is plastic. A wiffle ball.
It's plastic?
It's
hard plastic.
It's plastic wiffle ball, like the kids play baseball, only it's a little tougher because you're banging it. The kids hit it, it goes out in the field. So that baseball will not will break down very quickly. This ball lasts a little longer.
And the,
but it's a
and
wiffle
the
ball.
And,
like
the and you're hitting it with a... Not a strung racket. It's a wooden.
It's not a strung racket. It's a paddle.
Like a ping pong paddle,
it's
but a
like
bigger
a ping
one.
Ping pong paddle. Some people play with actually a wooden paddle. Most of us play with a paddle that's made out of some other material. It's
okay.
A little lighter.
And one hand or two hand on the paddle.
People do everything, just like in tennis.
I know you play. I'm just curious. I mean,
I cannot play with two hands.
You backhand. Then it's backhand
just
and forehand?
Backhand like that.
Okay.
Some people
just
play
curious.
Two hands.
Just curious. That's, I don't know.
I'd just like to know, like, hours of you guys typically play and how easy is it for somebody to walk in and play? And
It's easy. You walk in and we get you to play.
Okay.
That's what goes on.
Is two courts enough?
Well, this will give you three courts, actually.
Okay.
Because I would presume we wouldn't change this court. It's already marked. We would continue to play. So we would increase what we're doing now by 50% if we did this. We go to,
and
three, yeah, to answer the question right now, three is enough.
Right.
And I would guess for the next two or three years, three would be enough.
Is the district planning on getting involved with the scheduling of this, or are we leaving it in the hands of the pickleballers at this point, right?
I think it depends on where you tend to put it. If it's at the community center, we have a little bit more
issue.
Well, I don't want to say issue. I mean, right now we just don't know what the plan is moving forward with what we're going to do with the tennis, not just the tennis courts themselves, but with options for leagues or classes or a club with premium time. We don't, that hasn't been answered yet.
Okay.
So that's.
So for the time being, the pickleballers would be in charge of their own future success because we don't really care what they do. I mean, we don't really need to be involved in the scheduling. Should I say this correctly? Be involved in the scheduling of their time down there because it doesn't interfere with any sort of scheduling we might have with the tennis club or.
There's
a little more liberty down there too for them.
Well, if we chose to have it free at the community center, it would be the same thing. I mean, there's pros and cons to each site, and that's.
Except access to the community center
discuss.
Is going
to
be a little more regulated than access to the. Because there's going to be fees.
Yeah. Yes.
Involved.
So,
okay. Let me ask this. Let me just ask for comments from the board, and I would start with our resident pickleballer Diane Alexander. Do you have any comments or questions or clarifications you'd like to give, or your feelings about where you would like to?
I like the Cornell Park one because I live right across the street, so that's really easy. But it seems to me that it'd be easier to be just drop in and play down there.
Okay.
At the club, you know, you have to, like you said, possibly pay, go when they're open. You know, it's just easier. Now, if at the at Cornell, you know, always taking a chance. The tennis players come down there, too.
Yeah, there is some, you know, conflict that goes on. Not bad conflict. That's happened once, but generally
right.
Everybody gets
it. Yeah, but with the new courts available, we really shouldn't have any issue.
Right.
And we're going to have some free time. We haven't completely solidified our tennis schedule yet at the club, but there are going to be open hours of play there that people can take advantage of, is my understanding, possibly. But anyway, we'll get to, that's not on the agenda. I want to remember, I would like to remember what it was that I was going to say, but I can't. So, Paul, do you have any comments?
No, I really don't understand the sport, but I mean, if it sounds...
I asked enough questions.
Well, yeah. Come out and play with us.
That's fun.
There you go. I guess my point would be, whatever makes it most convenient for the people who want to do it.
I agree.
Is the way, in my mind, to do it, so I would suggest...
Chris, do you have any input?
No, we just renovated the tennis courts, so I'm just like, wow, we're going to cut those up now. But I get, we're just spent all that money, and...
But this isn't much of a change.
Well, to have to core and put posts in.
Well, you got
to
put posts in, but you do that over here, too. Yeah.
No, I know. And the original plan was to go build another court next to a pickleball court.
Yeah, we still think that's good, but
all right.
There's a lot of money.
Yeah, the location's fine. I'm really good. But I know they have a world-class tennis facility in one piece and have a world pickleball tennis or facility also, you know. So keep it separate.
The other thing I would mention is the fact that it is my understanding that the tennis players themselves put up a lot of money to resurface the courts at the tennis club, and then we were going to go in and make a decision based on money that was out of their own pocket, that they went in there because Pilates, the owner at the time, didn't want to renovate, and so they actually put money out of their pocket to go in and resurface those courts, and I think that should be something that we would consider also.
That, yeah.
So any other comments from the public other than Mr. Lyman?
Steve, do you want to say anything about the under 10 tennis? Because that was there's a program called under 10 tennis, and that's kind of what Anton was directed towards, and we've done a little bit. Steve has started to play pickleball and the tennis, was a tennis involved parent, and a tennis player, I guess, and so, and has run tournaments, USTA sanctioned tournaments for youth, so. Knows kind of what it takes to do that. Now I know this says pickleball on it, so but we're talking about putting pickleball courts, and that would impact the tennis, so it kind of all folds together.
So you're saying it would bring another asset to the.
Yeah.
They would provide it multi-purpose, not
well,
strictly.
Well, no, you would actually impact potential. According to Steve, you would impact potential running of USTA sanctioned tournaments. Kind of what Farron originally told you.
Yeah.
Now, your tennis teacher, of course, is seeing dollars because he sees, another opportunity to do something, but he can do it over at the other place.
Yeah.
Do you want to clarify that for us there, sir?
If you'd like.
I would.
Steve, I have 23 years in Discovery Bay.
How are you doing, Steve?
Tennis for many, many years.
Sure.
Pickleball for 3 months.
Okay. My kind of guy.
That sounds cool.
I was a little bit concerned when I heard that the tennis instructor wanted the pickleball courts over there so he could use it for junior tennis. Being heavily involved in junior tennis years ago, he's gonna kill his opportunities to hold sanctioned tournaments and to attract tennis families into this. So
that was my concern when I heard it because of
they're
using a substandard net.
Have three sets of lines on those courts and hold any sanctioned tournaments.
Right.
And you're gonna have kids playing with the wrong
stroke. That's exactly
the wrong
what popped into my head.
So, but it seems like you guys are going the right way.
All right.
Okay.
I don't think there's any need for
Mike. All right. Thank you for that, though. But no, that's initially what I thought. Anton's a great guy, and I know that he's, you know, most people like him. But you know, it reminds me of those golf commercials you see out there now where you see Tiger and Phil when they were 3 years old swinging the clubs. They might have been swinging cut down clubs, but they were still swinging a club on and a legitimate club and a legitimate ball. And if you're going to teach tennis players to play tennis, you want to teach them with legitimate rackets and legitimate balls, I believe, instead of trying to mix the two. But that's just, I played tennis for years also, so that's maybe I'm just a traditionalist. Okay, there's no real action item on this, is there? Are you looking for an action item?
I think that we're looking for course of direction as to, and I think we're seeing where the direction is going as to which location is preferable by the committee. So when we go back to the board, we can say.
I guess that, we may have a motion on the horizon.
So
I'd like to make a motion that we recommend to the staff for the board proposal to work on the Cornell site and as fiscally responsible as we can be.
Okay.
Is there a second?
Second.
Perfect. Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great. Thank you for all your input and for your hard work. Item 7.
This is more of just an informational item for you. We had mentioned at the last meeting that we were starting it on the budgets. And based upon Pat's conversations, the meeting today with Pat, as well as the information provided by Matt with respect to Delta Valley, with respect to our budget for the next fiscal year, actually we're doing a two-year budget, we have sat down, we started working on the numbers. In fact, here they are. We are not at a stage, at a point where we're they're ready for prime time yet, if you will. So I would hopefully think that at the next meeting or the one, depending on when Pat, and we can get our report back, but hopefully soon we can be able to at least present a preliminary budget to the committee. But we're just not prepared to do that at this point in time.
Thank you, staff, for that. Sorry about that. I apologize. Okay. That was rude. And then item E8. Do we need to meet before the 8th of April for anything? Is there any timely issues, staff? Do you have any issues that you think we need to address prior to April 8th? That's 2 weeks away.
So based on schedule, at least a draft, you go through and edit it before what you're looking for.
It's certainly the committee's prerogative to go ahead. And I mean, there's always things we can discuss, but we also want to make sure that your time is spent valuably as well. And I'm going to, maybe we push it out 3 weeks.
Okay, let me suggest this. Does the committee feel that there's anything that we're not addressing that they need to meet sooner on? Or can I make a suggestion that staff contact it? Because I'm open 8th, 15th, to the 22nd of April. Just all three of those Mondays are open for me. I don't know about the rest of the committee, but we kind of been meeting on Mondays. Actually, the 29th also. But I would suggest then that staff encourage Greenplay to complete some preliminary stuff as soon as possible for our review, and hopefully we can have those by a meeting scheduled for the 15th and 22nd, and staff contact the committee with a proposed date at that point. Does that work for everybody?
Yeah, the big items coming forward are really going to be the budget numbers. And we're just, like I said, we're just now putting them together, putting them in place.
Director Steele. Committee member Steele has something.
This is a future agenda item. I'd like to start talking about programming. I know we're having the Earth Day, and we can't announce any programs for what we're going to do, whether it's the pool or summer activities for kids. We haven't even discussed anything like that. Are we planning on doing anything, any programming at all in this committee?
Well, this is part of what we have with consulting.
I understand that, but April 20th is the Earth Day, and if I don't have a handout there to hand out to the community what we're doing there, then I think we're not doing our job.
You got that, Pat?
Got it.
And also, I was curious, for the Earth Day, are we going to have, like, architect drawings or future
conceptual or anything? We can always get Lee to do something. But let me ask this. The committee, we don't have, Earth Day is taken care of by staff. We don't have any input as to, I mean, you guys got that all handled,
just
right?
Just from an informational standpoint. Sue's been working on that pretty much full time right now.
Sue's convening the staff where I can't see her.
But with respect to Earth Day, there are some initial artist renderings that have been out there that we have commissioned, if you will. They have not been widely discussed. Those have really been for discussion purposes amongst us, and I'm a little reluctant to send something out and then all of a sudden that's an expectation that we're going to have to deliver on something that really hasn't been completely had the opportunity to be vetted, if you will.
If we were to put something like that out, I would suggest that we do not put a thing out there, that we put out three things out there. You know, if you wanted to do, you know, I know that Mark's come up with one kind of drawing that we tried to avoid early in the conversation, but now seems appropriate.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of different options that included some other things, because if you just put one out, then it does lead people in that direction. But if you put out possibilities, here's one, here's plan, you know, option one, option two, and option three, well, then you're not committing to any one thing, but you can take those components and make what everybody wants or not. But I don't believe we should push one rendering out there and have expect, because then you're going to get people saying, I don't want that, but I want this, and it doesn't look like there's any flexibility.
I would like to volunteer to staff at a community center table at the Earth Day. I will staff it.
We can certainly
get the gold star for today.
We can certainly put the we can certainly put the drawings in, out there on a message board. With the caveat that these are just for these are possibilities for discussion.
Hey, but you know, okay, yeah. Be careful because people you say that and people don't hear that. They only
I was even thinking of survey, just taking that casual survey while we're standing there and writing it down. I don't know. We just engage dialogue, you know.
Yeah, I think
it's
you need to show that you care and are making plans.
Well, I think we should have a table there.
I think there's a timeline and stuff.
Yeah, I'll participate.
Okay.
I'm going to talk to Pat about that because I think that's a really good idea. And maybe we can, with respect to a survey or a questionnaire that we can hand out there, maybe we can help us more informed.
Or confirm what we did already, you know. I don't know.
I would love to be able to have a meeting here on the 15th prior to Earth Day so that we as a committee and whoever decides to come is on, has something to talk about when people show up there for the first big event, and we're not just saying, I'm not really sure.
Yes.
Thank you.
But I know I don't want to. I also want a quality product, so don't jeopardize. I know you won't, Pat. You know what I'm saying? We have unfortunately, we already have something scheduled where we want to reach out to the community and say, this is your piece of property, and these are the things we're thinking about doing here, and it's going to come from input that we want from
we
you.
We're going to just have some talking points, some very simple talking points.
Yeah, it may not even have to be a full report, but keep in mind that that's occurring, and that we are going to be there with our little shirts on to say, come talk to me. Kick me, I think mine says on it.
You know, on the Earth Day, just so you know, we have reached out to the community. I haven't discussed it with Matt yet, but here's your perfect opportunity, Mr. Ellison, to contribute to the Earth Day event in Discovery Bay and get your name up on a sign. And we do have, Veolia Water is signed on as our title sponsor. We've raised probably another $4,000 besides that, or more. The title sponsorship is $2,500. We'll create a super title sponsorship if Matt would like.
We can up that one.
But we do have advertising running in the newspaper the three Fridays prior to the 2nd, the 9th.
What date 19th, is it?
April 20th, Saturday.
The 12th and 19th.
I know staff.
Is there a sponsorship application I should get?
Yes, sir. I will email that all to you.
Okay, great.
The 5th, the 9th, and the 12th advertising. Our message board will be out the whole week ahead of time. And we're going to be moving that out all over town to the different schools. We're handing out flyers to all the schools next week. So every student that goes home is going to go home with a flyer regarding Earth Day. So we are getting the word out, and there is some enthusiasm that is beginning to start on that scene.
So based on that, I would suggest that we schedule a community center committee right now for the 15th of April. That's the Monday prior to the community center being used for this large event. And I think it'd be a good idea for us to come together. We'll have some talking points. We can make sure we're all on the same page. So would that be appropriate, staff?
Sir.
Okay.
What date is it?
That would be the 15th of April, which
Monday.
Is tax day. So we'll be having tax seminars at the same time.
At the Lions Club board meeting, they were talking about, you know, what participation is expected to
working with Len Fata. So Len's aware of it, and if the Lions want us to, you know, want myself to go to the next meeting and discuss it, certainly be more than happy to do so.
Yeah, we want to help.
In fact, the chamber, I'm going to the chamber tomorrow night and doing the same thing with that. So.
Is that the iClick?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, any other, anything else from the committee? Any other future agenda? Okay, hey, great. Thanks for a lot of hard work. Again, thanks, Matt. Look forward to working with you on serving the community better, Matt. Thanks for coming in. And thank you, Pat and Greenplay. We're looking forward to partnering with you on providing a successful community center program to the citizens of Discovery Bay. Meeting is adjourned.
Good job, Ken. Thank you.